Good morning. It's fun to see the pictures of our great week together, and it truly was a great week here at Summer Jam. I'm Linda. I'm the children's pastor here at North Shore Alliance Church, and it was a privilege to lead this team in our incredible week of day camp, and it's a privilege to be here sharing with all of you the things that God did in our midst this week. As I said earlier, we had about 200 kids here in this space and about 80 leaders to take on those 200 kids. And each and every day, we saw God's love turn up in the lives of our kids and in the lives of our leaders in unique and amazing ways. Because God's love was the treasure that we were seeking all week long. It was our prayer that each and every child who came to camp this year would know that they are loved by God and that they would each experience a new and fresh taste of the love of God. All throughout the week, I heard many stories of God's love in action here in this place. Leaders loving kids well. Kids loving others well. The stories of Jesus' love impacting and transforming and changing our kids' lives. Worship, declaring God's love and goodness. There were many moments where I thought, God is here. Our theme verse for this year was centered around this big idea of love as well. And so if you're a kid and you're here and you remember our theme verse, let's give it a try. It says, love is patient, love is kind, love always protects, always hopes, always trusts, always perseveres, love. Good. Our verse was taken from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7, and we condensed this passage into a short, easy-to-remember scripture. But this morning, we're going to take a deeper look at this scripture that is found in 1 Corinthians 13. If you want to turn there, it's on page 1787 of the Pew Bibles in front of you. 1 Corinthians says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, I've heard this passage of Scripture many times in my journey with God, and maybe you have too. I suspect if you've ever been at a wedding, this Scripture has been read, and you have heard these words. But every time we open the Bible, God has a fresh word for us. Every time we come to the Scriptures, God has something new to say today. And so as I was preparing for camp, I was truly struck by how this passage of Scripture talks about love. It's interesting. I use this word love often as I'm going about my day. This morning, I said to one of my ushers, yes, I love my shoes. And I told the kids this week, I love my car. And I love sleeping in. And I love drinking coffee. And there are many things that I love in life. But these are not the kind of loves that God is speaking about in 1 Corinthians 13. These loves of my shoes or my car or sleeping in or coffee are loves that are a feeling or an emotion. They're an attitude towards an object at any given moment. The love God describes through Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 is something quite different. This love is a love in action. In fact, in these four short verses, there are 15 verbs listed. Verbs are action words. Some of these verbs describe the positive aspects of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Others describe the negative aspects of what love is not. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. But all of these words produce action. And so what Paul wants us to know about God's love is that God's love produces action. This is important because so often we think of God's love as an attitude or a feeling or something warm and fuzzy. It's something that comes and goes. I may love my shoes today. I may hate my shoes tomorrow. You know, it comes and goes. But God's love is different. God's love is a choice. God's love is filled with action. There's something else that I noticed about this passage of Scripture this time around as I was reading it. The thing I noticed was I am not very good at this kind of love. I need to grow in this. I need more of God so that I can love better. 2 weeks ago at our preschool summer jam, I was the teacher. And so I had been prepping my stories. And on this particular morning, I think it was Tuesday, I was teaching on God's patient and kind love. And I was telling this story to the kids. And on my way to the church, I had to stop at the city market and pick up a few things. And you might be able to guess where this story is going. But the girl at the city market, she's like, I need your card. I need your card. I need your card. I need your card. She said it 4 times. And I wanted to yell at her, what do you think I'm doing? Like, I'm looking for my card. But God reminded me that God's love is patient. As the words were coming out of my mouth, I thought, no, that is not how I should respond to this supermarket girl. Today is not the day to yell at the girl at City Market. Perhaps I need to learn a few more things about God's patient love. Perhaps you do too. And if we were to fill our name into the place of love, we might find ourselves disappointed. If I were to say Linda is patient and Linda is kind, I actually have trouble saying those words out loud. And maybe you would too. It reminds me that I've got a long way to go on my journey with God. But there is a name, there is a person that we can put into that place of love and that gets it right every time. Do you know who I'm talking about? Jesus. That's good. Somebody knows. And so if we were to talk and say that Jesus is patient and Jesus is kind, we would all say, yes, he is. This is the big truth that we were learning this week at Summer Jam, that Jesus is the perfect model of God's love, that Jesus is the one we as Christ followers should follow, that Jesus' love is our example. All week long, we looked at Jesus' stories. We heard about Jesus' birth and how God's love is giving. We heard about Jesus' kind and patient love as he healed Jairus' daughter and the sick woman. We heard about God's love for everyone when we heard the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. We heard about how God's love changes us when we looked at the story of Zacchaeus, a grumpy, angry guy who was transformed with God's saving love. And Friday, we looked at God's love, which is forever, through the death and resurrection of Jesus. All week long, we learn the stories. All week long, we learn the lessons that God is love, that God is the love that we should model our lives after. And this morning, we're going to take a look at one of these stories. And you might be able to guess it because it's the story I need to learn from. The story we're going to look at is the story of Jairus and his little sick girl and the sick woman. And this story teaches us that God's love is patient and kind. And so the kids, you guys have already heard this story this week, but keep paying attention. I promise it's going to be good. You can turn with me, if you would like, to page 1559 of the Blue Bible in front of you. And this passage of Scripture is found in Mark 5. Now, I'm not going to read this passage of Scripture to you. I'm going to tell you the story. And so there may be things that I add along the way that are more me than the Bible, and that's okay. So if you want to know what the Bible actually says, you should open it and keep it in front of you as I go along. The story starts that Jesus had crossed over the Sea of Galilee in a boat. He was with his disciples, and it had already been a really busy week. Jesus had been responsible for teaching the crowds. There was this big storm on the sea that he had to settle down. He had healed many people, and he had traveled a long way with his disciples. The Bible tells us that as soon as Jesus got out of the boat, a large crowd of people gathered around him. Perhaps Jesus was tired. Perhaps Jesus wanted some time alone. But Jesus didn't let it show. Some of the people in the crowd just wanted to be near Jesus, and other people in the crowd needed something from Jesus on this day. But there were many, many people there. On this particular day, there was a man in the crowd who was very anxious to see Jesus. This man was an important leader of the synagogue. That's the place where the Jewish people went to worship. And his name was Jairus. And Jairus was anxious to see Jesus because he had a little girl at home who was very sick, and Jairus believed that Jesus could heal her. Because Jesus was so full of love for Jairus and his daughter, he decided that he would go to her house. And so immediately, Jairus, the disciples, and the crowd, and Jesus set off for Jairus' house. Jesus had so much compassion for the little girl. It didn't matter that his week had been busy. It didn't matter that his week had been full. Jesus made time for Jairus. On the way, a sick woman came up to Jesus and touched his robe. She had believed that if she just could touch Jesus, she would be healed. She had been sick for a very long time. And women weren't very important in the society of Jesus' day. So she didn't want to interrupt or ask Jesus to heal her. She just truly believed that if she touched Jesus, she would be healed. Now, at this moment, Jesus felt something. It says in the Bible that he felt power had gone out of him. And he asked the question, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, often when we read this story in the Bible, we think maybe Jesus was mad. "Who touched me?" But the Bible tells us that Jesus didn't want the woman to be afraid. And so he said, "Who touched my clothes?" He loved this woman as much as he loved anyone else. And Jesus knew that she needed more than just the physical healing that she had received. This woman didn't think she was very important. But God wanted to remind her that she was important to Jesus. And so she fearfully came forward and she said, "It was me." And Jesus looked her right in the eye and said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Now go in peace," that means wholeness, "and be free from your suffering." And so not only did God heal her of her physical problem, God healed her heart so that she would know that she was loved, so that she would know that she was important. I think this woman would have been very surprised that Jesus wasn't angry at her. And I think the crowd would have been very surprised that Jesus stopped and took the time and was patient enough and was kind enough to talk to her. Remember what we were learning from our verse this week? God's love is patient and kind. It's important that we note that this love, this patient, kind love, Jesus' love, isn't just for the people who think they're important. It's for everyone. Meanwhile, Jairus was waiting. And I suspect Jairus was not as calm or as patient as Jesus. Maybe his arms were crossed and he was tapping his foot, being like, "Come on, Jesus, I've got important business for us to do." While he was waiting, some men came from Jairus' home and they said, "Your little girl has died. Don't bother Jesus anymore." I think Jairus would have been mad. I mean, Jairus had tried so hard to make Jesus hurry, and now it was just too late. But Jesus, he wasn't concerned. He wasn't fazed. He just kept walking towards Jairus' house because Jesus had a plan. And Jesus' love was big enough for Jairus' daughter, too. I love that Jesus is never anxious or worried in the midst of the craziness of our lives. When Jesus and Jairus got to the girl, to Jairus' house, the little girl dead up in the room, the people around were crying and wailing. And Jesus just looked at the crowd and he was like, "What are you doing?" Yeah? It says in the Bible that he said that she wasn't dead, that she had just fallen asleep. But the people all laughed at him. Jesus sent the people away and he took just Jairus and his wife and two of his disciples into the room where the little girl was sleeping. Jesus took the little girl by the hand and gently said, "Little girl, get up." In the Bible, it says the words "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, get up." Again, I can see Jesus kneeling down and being gentle as he says to this little one, "Get up now." And it's amazing to me that the girl opened her eyes and sat up. She was alive. Her family was so excited. Her parents were probably filled with joy. This little girl who was dead was now alive. Jesus then told Jairus and his wife to get their daughter some food, which is so strange. But, you know, even in that moment, Jesus was looking out for the little girl. Jesus had loved the little girl. Jesus had shown her compassion. Jesus' love was strong enough and powerful enough to transform what was dead and make it alive again. This reminds me, there is nothing greater than God's love. And there's a great verse in Romans 8 that says, "Not death nor life, not angels nor demons, not height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God." Jesus, in this story, showed us the great power of his transforming love. All throughout, we see that Jesus is a God of action. Jesus doesn't stand back on the sidelines. Jesus doesn't wait for things to happen. He takes action, and he shows love. So 2,000 years later, here at Summer Jam, at North Shore Alliance Church, I'm telling you that God is still a God of action, and God is still a God of love. What does that look like? Obviously, Jesus isn't walking around telling us to get up. You know, obviously I can't go and see a physical Jesus and say, "Hey, help me out." But God is still here. His presence, that transforming power is still with us and still at work in this place. God's love still changes us. God's love is still with us. God's love is still for us. I want to tell you a few stories about what God's love did in this place this week. But to help me with some of my stories, I want to invite up Jack and Hope and Abby and Noah and Aiden. And these guys are some kids that joined us at Summer Jam this week. And they're going to help us. They're going to share some things that they loved about Summer Jam, some places that God was transforming in their lives, and how God's love was showing up this week. So, Jack, would you mind going first? Take the stand. This is Jack. This was your first year at Summer Jam, right?
Yeah, it was my first year at Summer Jam.
Yeah, and you had a great time.
I had a really great time. It was probably the best week of summer this year. I especially enjoyed the singing and the actions that we did to the songs, the games, and making new friends. One of the games that I mostly enjoyed was, like, doing stuff with sponges, like water fights and stuff like that.
Yeah, water fights are always fun.
On Thursday, I accepted Jesus into my life, where he will remain forever. It's made me feel very joyful. Thank you, Janine, Linda, and Naomi. I had a lot of fun at Summer Jam this year.
Yeah. And so I want to tell you that Jack is representative of 18 senior students that gave their lives to Jesus and 42 junior students that returned their heart, which they were given with their name on it. They wanted to give their heart back to Jesus. And so, we're just excited that God was at work here. Thanks for sharing, bud. And over here, introduce yourself first.
I'm Hope. I'm Abby.
I'm Aiden.
I'm Noah.
Awesome. Glad you guys are all here. Would you like to tell us a highlight from your week at camp?
Probably the water fights.
Water fights, yep.
Yeah, water fights.
Water fights.
Water fight.
Water fight.
Great. I love that. Easy, quick, simple. We need to do more water fights. You guys did something really incredible this week to show God's love to your neighbors and to the world, and I wanted you guys to share that with us. So can you tell us a little bit about what you guys set up and did this week?
We had two lemonade stands on the corner of our street.
Uh-huh. And so you were selling lemonade and telling your neighbors about the great mission project that we had going on here. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
So we are raising money for Rwanda, and we raised
$112. $112, yes. Oh, and
37 cents.
And 37 cents. Awesome. $112.37. And did you guys enjoy doing that? Was it fun? Yeah? Did you get to tell any of your neighbors, like, why you were doing this or what God was doing here?
Well, some of our neighbors weren't wanting lemonade, but they just gave money because of the cause.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
That's very cool. Yeah. So there were even people who didn't want lemonade but wanted to donate and wanted to support these guys. So great job, guys. And of course, these guys are representative of the $750 that our kids raised altogether. So thanks for sharing. Thanks, guys. I have two quick stories as well. And so the first one is, it seems really simple, but it was one way that I felt like God really said, Linda, I love you this week. And so Sunday night, I got home from work late, and I was super tired. And I was like, I don't think I can go to work tomorrow, but it's not really an option. And so I was feeling just like I needed something different than what was going on. And I said to God, I said, God, I need to know that somebody is praying for me, like right now. And maybe these are the things that they should be praying. And I went to bed. And I thought, okay, well, that's great. I told God what I needed. It's always good to do that. And shortly after, I woke up because there wasn't a lot of hours there. And the next morning, I noticed an email in my inbox. And it had come from a friend in Europe, a friend who knew I was doing Summer Jam this week, but has been traveling Europe this summer. And I just thought, like, oh, an email from so-and-so. And so I opened this email, and she had said, Linda, I'm praying for you. But more than that, she had said, here's what I prayed this morning. And all of the things that I had told God in anger the night before, I need to know. God had this girl millions of miles away, thousands of miles away, praying for me and just holding me up. And I thought, that is so cool that God wants me to know I'm with you and I love you. So it's a really personal story. My second story is one that is reflective of so many of our leaders this week. We had a number of leaders that had a very challenging group of boys that didn't want to do anything. And I, on Thursday, sat in with this group and I said, so have you enjoyed anything this week? And they said, it's been average. Some things have been below average. Great. And these kids, as we were worshiping, had sat with their arms crossed and had just been taking it in, I think. And I thought, like, God, we want them to know that they are loved. And their leaders had loved them so well and had been kept loving them even when they were being hard and challenging and even in the hardest moments of the week. So Friday morning comes along, and I said to this one kid, I said, hey, you're smiling. No, I'm not having any fun. So every time I saw him on Friday, I'm like, hey, wipe that smile off your face. You're not supposed to be having any fun. And we had this great exchange all day on Friday. And I think that he knew that he was loved by his leaders, and he was okay to be himself in this place. And it was okay. And so our last two songs of our closing session, this group was in the middle on that side. And I looked over, and it was like a Summer Jam miracle. He's standing on the pew, jumping up and down, singing at the top of his lungs. And I turned to the person beside me, and I said, do you see that? That is like a miracle. And I don't know what transformed this kid's heart. I don't know what happened that day. I don't know what God was doing at work in his life this week. But I do know that God did something, and I do know that God was in action. Our kids were loved so well by our leaders, and I just want to say thank you for putting all the time and energy and effort in. I am reminded that what we do is worthwhile. The sleepless nights, the energy put out, the cost is all worthwhile when we see our kids' lives changed by God's spontaneous, redeeming, amazing, life-changing love. And this week, I was struck by how much God is here, by how much God loves us, and by how much he wants to pour out his love on each of us. God's love is enough for any need that you have in this place this morning. God's love is enough for you. And so I want you to go knowing that you are loved by God. Let me say that again. You are loved by God. And he sees you, and he knows you, and he knows what you need. I'm going to pray because, with God's love on our side, I know that anything is possible. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your powerful, strong, spontaneous, redeeming love. I thank you, God, that your love never fails. I thank you, God, that your love is always for us. I thank you, God, that your love is always with us. And I thank you, God, that you see and know each and every one of us. Today, God, we want to be in a position where we're receiving your love. God, we want to trust that you can love us no matter what our circumstance. We want to trust that your love is enough for us. And God, we want to just worship you this morning because you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our adoration. You are worthy of us giving back to you all that you have given us. And so this morning we declare, God, that you are a God of love, that you are our Father, and we are your kids. And God, we come to you just with open hands, ready to receive all that you have for us. We pray these things in your name. And all his kids said,
amen.
Awesome. I'm going to invite all of the kids up. We're going to sing two songs. And the first one is my favorite, and so that's why we're singing it. And
all the leaders, come on down. We're going to have so much fun together.
Yeah.
Here,
and so this is a song called My God Can. And grown-ups, as you listen to the words, I want you to remember that God's strong and powerful love can do all things. All things.
Oh, I'm so...
joining in with us. We had such an awesome week. It was my joy to sing with all the kids in the worship team.